Good afternoon. This show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Glad you're able to join us today. And I wanted to invite you to look for the WYLL radio app. It's a new thing, recently released, and if you have an iPhone, iPad, or Android device, it is free. Allows you to stream our AM and FM stations, including this show, live and local. You can listen to past episodes. And if you want to know how to get it, just look for WYLL Radio in the App Store or Google Play. For more information, visit our website at will.illinois.edu. On the show today, I'll be talking in just a few minutes with Christy Bennett, who's a native of Springfield, has a bachelor's degree from DePaul University in vocal performance, but her efforts are spent in jazz singing, and in fact, she is now living as a freelance musician in Chicago, but she's coming back to Springfield for a couple of gigs on Friday night, and on her way, she'll stop in Urbana for a show on Thursday night. We'll be telling you more about those and hearing some of her music next on Live and Local.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings. It was just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings. It was just one of those things. If we thought a bit about the end of it, when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that this love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
You probably recognize that song, Just One of Those Things, a performance here by vocalist Christy Bennett, who's a native of Springfield, now living and working in Chicago, and her Fumé Gypsy project. And we heard with her accordionist Esan Goreshi, guitarist Nate Baker, also guitarist Casey Nielsen, and bassist Christian Dillingham. Minus Esan Goreshi, they're coming to Urbana and Springfield this week, Thursday at 8 o'clock at Bouvon's in Urbana, and then Friday for two shows at Robbie's Restaurant in Springfield at 5:30, and then at Norb Andy's in Springfield at 8:30. So she'll be returning to her home base there for a couple of shows before heading off to St. Louis. She's with me on the phone from Chicago, I assume you are right now?
Yes.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How much have you been in Urbana? Is this your first time singing here or not?
This will be my first time singing there, and I think it will actually be my first time visiting Urbana.
Wow. You never made the pilgrimage to the metropolis of Urbana-Champaign, huh?
It's a big week.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your vocal training. I did see that you studied classical voice with a guy I went to college with, Chris Lorimer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent 4 years studying with Chris at DePaul, starting in 2002. And, I got my start singing classically, and then by junior and senior year, DePaul has a great jazz program, and they were really welcoming when I showed an interest in it, and I got involved with the jazz combo, and one thing led to another, and that's what I've been doing mostly ever since.
When you were in younger than college, what sort of singing were you doing?
Lots of musical theater and a little bit of like vocal jazz stuff in high school and stuff. So part of a lot of choir groups in high school. Did a little bit of the Springfield Muni in the chorus. So anything I could get into. And lots of church singing, too. I sang at St. Agnes in Springfield as well.
So when you headed off to college, did you think you would be a classical singer, or you had a pretty good itch for jazz at that point?
I was pretty sure I wasn't going to be a classical singer. I just, anyone I had talked to that I respected, a good friend of mine, Patrick Knox, was always kind of giving me advice in high school. And he and also Sister Frances Mary at St. Agnes had kind of said that the best way to get the best training and to be able to do as much as you wanted to do and as much variety as you wanted to do was to get the basics with classical voice, and then you can kind of do what you want with your voice after that.
So
I kind of knew I wasn't going to go into classical.
Can you describe in any way what those basics are and why classical training has been important?
Just the basics of having a solid support underneath and really being on your breath for everything, especially, we're going into a tour this week, and I can safely say I will make it through 4 days of singing lots of hours and lots of music without tiring my voice. So I think that's probably the most valuable thing I got from classical training, was figuring out how to use my voice in a way that wasn't going to strain it or put any undue pressure on things that you don't want to damage.
You use the term on your breath. Is there an easy way to explain that to somebody who doesn't know, what has never heard that term before?
There should be.
But not without demonstrating, probably, right?
I think a good way to think about it is any kind of physical activity like yoga and everything. I was just talking to a student yesterday who was saying she was in yoga all day, and she felt like all day people had been saying to her to breathe from her belly, you know, to breathe all the way down into her belly and fill her belly with air. And I think we naturally breathe kind of shallowly on a daily basis, and with singing, in order to really support everything and to lock into your lower abdominal muscles that do most of the work and really fill your rib cage, you have to breathe really low and keep that underneath anything that you do.
And of course, the idea, I assume, is once you've got that training and have practiced it plenty, you never think about it again. Or do you have to?
I still do. I would love to be to the point that I never have to think about it, but there are definitely days where I can tell I'm, you know, breathing shallowly and have to kind of go back to old tricks I learned in college from Chris, and also from any kind who I've studied with, too. But, yeah, I feel like that's the breath is the main thing that goes through any kind of singing. So,
you wrote to me that you, at DePaul, you studied jazz with Bob Palmieri, and jazz voice and piano with Bradley Williams. Tell me about Bob Palmieri. I don't happen to know the name, though perhaps I should. And is he an instrumentalist?
He's a guitar player, but he has sung his whole life. He was like in a children's choir at an early age. So, and his wife is a singer also, so he's got a really, really solid background and voice too. But he's primarily a guitar player, great guitar player.
So when you study jazz voice with an instrumentalist, whether he knows anything about specifically about the voice or not, what do you focus on, and what's and how much of it is listening to other people?
With Bob, it was a lot of vocal exercises and finding a way to sing over tunes and not just be doing everything by ear, singing scales and training your ear to be making educated guesses rather than just throwing something against the wall. With Brad Williams, he did a lot. He works with a lot of singers and he sings himself. And that most of my studying with him was kind of getting out of all of the classical tropes, all of the things that I was doing with my voice to be resonating as much as possible the way that you want to when you're singing classically, so that I didn't always sound like an opera singer trying to sing jazz. So with him, it was a lot of listening to other singers, and he had this tactic for, he would assign me a singer, like, go home and study this song and study this recording of Billie Holiday singing it, and come back in here next week and be able to sing it like she did. Note for note, stylistically, as close as you can. And so I'd come back in and we'd record whatever I did with that. So you kind of, it was more a way of like trying to find ways to trick myself out of all the things that I'd been training for 4 years to do classically with my voice that just don't work in jazz.
Many of us, I'm sure, heard opera singers who have attempted jazz or at least some sort of pop music, and at least to me, it nearly always doesn't work. So,
yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, some of my favorite singers, but favorite classical singers, when they've stepped out to do jazz, I'm never quite getting what I wanted out of the jazz vocals.
And do you think it's mostly the way they use the voice, meaning that they don't ever change the technique of classical singing in order to adapt to something that needs to be, for lack of a better term, a little more flexible?
I think so. I mean, the hardest thing for me was kind of switching out of that, again, trying to find that resonance. Like, you're constantly trying to get as much sound and use as much of your voice as you possibly can, and you really never, hardly ever do that in jazz. So with Brad, I was always doing things down like almost an entire octave from where I'd be singing, because I'm a soprano, so I'd be singing in like an alto register because I couldn't do any of the same things with, even if I wanted to switch into that classical voice, I couldn't down there. I just didn't have the same sort of ring in my voice down there. So yeah, I think when classical singers do that, it's more a matter of breaking those habits that you've worked so hard to master.
One of the things that classical singers need to do is learn to sing in various languages. And I have a couple of songs here in which you are doing exactly that, including German and French. And I wondered if that, is that something that the average jazz singer is also supposed to know, or is this a, sort of a byproduct of your classical training?
It's definitely a byproduct of the classical training. It's getting into gypsy jazz. That was one of the things I was like, yes, I finally have a purpose for all of these diction classes that I've taken. But I think I didn't study jazz as a major, but I'm pretty sure most jazz vocal majors study Portuguese, so they do study other languages. It's just different languages than you would in opera training.
I want to do the German song here by Dir war es immer so schön, which roughly means what?
With you, it was always so lovely.
And is this a standard that I just don't happen to know?
I wouldn't call it a jazz standard. I think it's been done in gypsy groups before. I found an old YouTube video then just fell in love with the melody.
I'm talking with Christy Bennett, who is working in Chicago. She's coming to Urbana for a show Thursday evening and to her hometown of Springfield for shows, two shows on Friday evening with what's called her Frumé Gypsy Jazz Project. We'll talk about that in a minute. And here they are on Live and Local on FM 90.9. As vocalist Christy Bennett and colleagues on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They are coming for a show in Urbana Thursday and in Springfield on Friday. She's my guest on Live and Local today. And before you started this particular project, maybe let back up a little bit. How long has this project been going for you?
We've been together for about a year now.
And what was your inspiration to branch out in this direction, or is it something you were already doing a little bit of and wanted to focus on more?
I wasn't dabbling in this at all, actually. It was that a friend of mine, Grace Lynn, got married, and she had me sit in with a gypsy duo that she had playing at her wedding. And after doing it, it just tapped in, kind of reminded me of gypsy jazz and how much I loved it. I was introduced to it first in high school at a friend of mine from Springfield, Ashley Glass's house. Her family has this great CD collection, and we'd always listen to Django Reinhardt. And so it just triggered a memory at this wedding, and I just decided that would be a great, great group to start. It'd be a lot of fun.
And where did you find these particular musicians?
We've been through a couple different arrangements of the group. I tried out several different guitar players before settling on this main mix. One of the guitar players is my boyfriend, Casey Nielsen, and the other guitar player I have met through friends of friends and through suggestions from other people. Nate Baker kind of came to our group, and he has a background in bluegrass and has a great duo with Aaron Dorfman. And so he brings kind of an interesting color to it. He has a background in jazz as well, but the mix of musicians that we've landed on, I think, brings kind of a unique take to the genre.
And I credited, after the first song, an accordion player named Esan Gordeshi. You told me before we actually started, before we opened up the microphone, that he's not playing with you now. And you're doing some accordion?
I am. I've recently started playing accordion. I play a little bit of piano, so it's not as hard of an instrument to dive into head first. I'm not totally starting from scratch, but yeah, I play a little bit with the group now.
I would think just getting used to the whole bellows thing and playing and keeping sound going would be the real challenge.
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. As I say, I've only been studying for a few months, but the nice thing about this group is there's such a strong rhythm section to it that on accordion, I just kind of need to be able to find the chords right now. So while I'm learning, I can still play with the group as long as I know where everything is on the bass side of the instrument.
Nate or Casey, one of them does acoustic, one of them electric typically?
They've both been playing electric on it, actually. I think down the road, Nate might be playing a little more acoustic, but we've been doing both on electric.
What new was required of you as a singer to do gypsy jazz as opposed to, say, Great American Songbook stuff, other jazz standards?
Well, other than a little bit of Portuguese, there aren't a lot of jazz standards that you do in other languages. So even though I had that background already and using, you know, diction classes from the past, so about half of our repertoire is in a language other than English. And really the main challenge with that is getting to memorize all of those tunes. Kind of takes a whole different process than memorizing something in your own language that you speak. So that's been the main shift for me. I was just going to say, also kind of a funny thing that I've noticed with the group, it's a more high-energy group than a standard jazz duo or trio or quartet because of the rhythmic nature of the music. And so I tend to bounce along with the music a little more, which totally shifts my breath. I've had to learn how to basically be moving more on stage and still not be out of breath, so out of breath that I can't sing. So that's been kind of a weird, funny thing with this group.
I guess I was wondering particularly about the rhythm, whether that would be a significant factor. And it sounds like it is, but not entirely for the reason that I expected.
From a vocalist standpoint, the rhythm being what it is in this group, it makes it ever present for you. It's really easy to always know right where the beat is, and nothing ever strays from that. So, if anything, the rhythmic nature of the group makes my job easier.
Here's a song whose rhythm is a little slower, let's say. This one's in French, Nuage. Do I remember right that means clouds? Or?
Yes.
Okay, good. Where's this one come from?
This is a Django Reinhardt tune, actually.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
And it's the trio joining Christy Bennett that we mentioned a bit ago, the two guitarists, Nate Baker, Casey Nielsen, and bassist Christian Dillingham. Are they all involved in this one?
No, actually, Gabriel Dacu, who's a great guitar player in Chicago, was one of the first members of the group, who has since moved on to other projects. But he's on this recording.
Okay. In any event, it's Christy Bennett and the Fumé Gypsy Project. They'll be in Urbana Thursday night at Bouvon's for a show at 8 o'clock. Twice in Springfield on Friday at Robbie's at 5:30 and Norb Andy's at 8:30. She's my guest on today's edition of Live and Local.
Passati sempre di entri.
Nuage, the name of the song, by Django Reinhardt, who was probably the inspiration for any gypsy jazz group. And Christy Bennett's Fumé Gypsy Project is who we just heard doing it here on Live and Local. Is what I said pretty much true, as far as you know, that you can't do gypsy jazz without, if not emulating, at least taking inspiration from Django Reinhardt?
Yeah, whether knowingly or not, because he's definitely the guy who started the whole genre. It would be difficult to deny that influence, yeah.
Some of your other influences, vocally or otherwise, who are they?
That's always a big question.
Yeah.
All of the greats. I have to say my first jazz vocal influence was Billie Holiday. And actually, Django Reinhardt was one of my first influences in high school as far as jazz. No one in my family really listens to much jazz, so I was getting bits and pieces here and there. Duke Ellington and Karen Allison for a more modern version. Yeah, too many to name. Dinah Washington.
What about any classical singers? Do they figure in here at all, really?
Yes and no. I have to admit, even in college, I didn't listen to a lot of classical music. I love Renee Fleming. It's hard to avoid her.
and hard not to admire, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
She seems to me one who sometimes does a little better than some other classical singers with some of the pop things, sometimes. Just my opinion, I guess.
Yeah, I think with her, most of what I really enjoy when she steps out of the classical genre is when she's using her lower register, because she's another one that doesn't do that as much in classical voice. So I feel like you get more of what you're listening for in pop music and in jazz.
Because probably the upper range, it's pretty hard to not break out into the classical sound, the operatic sound.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You do some classical singing, though.
I do, from time to time. I feel like that always goes in waves, yeah.
What sort of things would you do? And does it sneak into any of these programs, like the people are going to hear in our area or not?
No, it won't be in... It won't be with anything in the gypsy jazz group. The last recital I did was some Libby Larson pieces. I like a lot of contemporary classical music and Baroque classical music. It tends to be what my voice lends itself to as well. Casey's written a couple of pieces that I've sung on. So that's been the most recent stuff.
Tell me a little bit about your teaching. You indicated that you recently, I don't know how recently, joined the staff of a place called Accessible Contemporary Music.
I need to update my bio. I guess it hasn't been that recent. I've been there, I think, 3 years now, and they've since changed their name to Access Contemporary Music. It's a small school in Ravenswood, and it's for private lessons. It's not at a... not like at a high school or anything, but I teach piano lessons and voice lessons there.
And what, when they refer to contemporary music, what does that mean in that context?
Well, that organization also, it's two parts. So the school is only half of what the organization is. The Seth Boosted's goal with the whole organization is to bring contemporary classical music to a larger audience. So there's the whole performance aspect of it, and they have their own resident ensemble called Palomar. And they do all kinds of really, really interesting projects. They do a Sound of Silent Film performance every year where they have some of their member composers write music for silent films, and then you can buy tickets and go to the Chopin Theater or wherever they're showing it. And see these films with Palomar, their resident ensemble, playing the music live while the film shows, which is a really awesome, awesome thing to witness. They've done brought a lot of current living composers' music to life that wouldn't have been otherwise.
Are you able to bring your jazz work into your teaching there at all? Is there a context for that?
It depends on what students I have. The majority of my students right now are beginner and intermediate piano students. I have one adult voice student who's doing more classical voice, but in the past I've had some jazz voice students as well. So it just kind of depends on what the student's interested in.
Well, if you're interested in good jazz vocalism, you can go hear Christy Bennett any of three chances this week in our listening area on Thursday at Bouvance in Urbana at 8 o'clock. That's Bouvance Wine Bar. And twice then in Springfield, where she's making a pilgrimage of sorts back to her hometown from Chicago. And that'll be Friday at 5:30 at Robbie's Restaurant. And then at 8:30, she gets, I think, about an hour break in there. She'll be at Norb Andy's for a three-hour show. You'll need that training to keep the voice fresh for that amount of time, I imagine.
I sure will.
If you want more information on Christy Bennett, go to her website, which is simply christybennett.com, and that's spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-Y. I say that because I misspelled it first search. Bennett, two N's, two T's, .com. Let's go out with a jaunty little take here on the song My Blue Heaven. Christy, thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you for having me.
When whippoorwills call and evening is nigh, I hurry to my blue heaven. I turn to the right, baby makes three.
Christy Bennett and her Fumé Gypsy Jazz Project, Gypsy Project, Fumé Gypsy Project, that's what it's called. On Live and Local, she'll be in Urbana Thursday night at 8 and in Springfield Friday night starting at 5:30 with a second show at 8:30. And I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on our program today. Our broadcast is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan broadloom and rug dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. And speaking of gypsy jazz, and as we were earlier, Django Reinhardt, it's sort of difficult not to follow what those folks were just doing with some of Django Reinhardt's own performances, or at least one of them. And maybe I'll sneak in too. This one is called I Saw Stars from 1950. Django Reinhardt and his band from 1949. I said 1950 early. I think both of those were from 1949. Nope. Stormy Weather, we just heard it from 1950. And before that, I Saw Stars from 1949. And I took this off of a compilation called The Indispensable Django Reinhardt, taking from both those particular years. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Here are some events you can see and hear live in our listening area for the next couple of days. The Weasel Dreams Sextet play jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 6 o'clock. Singer-songwriters Cara Morisi and Emily Otness are at Clark Bar in Champaign this evening at 6:30. Len and Lois are at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood this evening at 5:30. Tomorrow night at Clark Bar, it's The Diva and the Dude, Kathy Harden and Andy Baylor, 6:30 tomorrow night. Reverend Robert plays the blues at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and Reverend Robert will be my guest live in our studio on the Wednesday edition of Live and Local at 4 o'clock. Hope you can join us for that. Tony Holt and the Wildwood Valley Boys play bluegrass at Rock Home Gardens in Arcola tomorrow evening at 7. And then there's the usual assortment of weekly gigs in Champaign-Urbana anyway. They always seem to be on Wednesdays. Jam and Jimmy Bean and Friends, an acoustic experience at Bentley's Pub, 6 o'clock tomorrow. The traditional Irish music session at Dublin O'Neill's in Champaign, Wednesday at 8:30. And the Alex Falls self-titled band playing jazz at the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night at 9. There are others as well, but that's what I have time to mention. And this is Live and Local on 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Our forecast calls for a mostly clear night with a low of 48 degrees. Tomorrow sunny, the high 75, and Thursday expected to be sunny with a high of 75, which happens to be our current temperature at 4:54. Stay tuned next for All Things Considered from NPR. And we'll go out with a performance by a jazz vocalist who was in Champaign-Urbana for a while, working on her master's degree, her husband working on a doctorate, I think, in jazz guitar performance. Her name, Darden Purcell, his name, Sean Purcell, and they team up here with saxophonist Chip McNeil, pianist Chip Stevens, bassist Dennis Carroll, and drummer Stockton Helbing in Darden's CD called Easy Living. And in fact, that is the name of this track.
Living for you is easy living. It's easy to live when you're in love, and I'm so in love. There's nothing in life but you. Never regret the years I'm giving. They're easy to give when you're in love. I'm happy to do whatever I do is for you. For you, maybe I'm a fool, but it's fun. People say you rule me with one wave of your hand. Darling, it's grand. Just don't understand that living for you is easy living. It's easy to live when you're in love, and I'm so in love. There's nothing in life but you. When you're in love, and I'm so nothing in life but you.